I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Happy New Year, witches. I wish you everything you could possibly desire for 2024 and a truly magical year. On today's episode, I'm talking with Emma Griffin, the author of the stunning book, Find Your Soul Path, where we will be discussing daily rituals, sacred cacao practices, the sacred home and grief. But to kick things off today, we have our book review, and our book is Blood and Honey, a Heathen Prayer Book by Danielle Dolsky. I absolutely love this new read from my favourite witchy author. This is such a different book from her others, and in other respects it isn't. Let me explain. If you love the stories and creative writing that flows throughout Danielle's work you have read so far, I truly think you will adore this book. Here is the book's blurb. This Witch's Devotional is a collection of nature-inspired prayers, mythic incantations, stories, and pagan poetry that can be enjoyed slowly or all at once. It will resonate with anyone looking to soothe the wounds of modernity with eco-devotional language, spell work, and daily spiritual nourishment. Danielle Dolsky speaks to the expanding movement of those returning to slow, simple living and cultivating an earth-inspired, sustainable existence. Organized around 13 archetypes and their themes, ranging from the mountain mage, solitude, and bone witch, grievers, to the heathen queen, empowerment, and shepherd, nurturing. Bones and honey will carry you to the third road, the unforeseen way that arises from the tension of opposites. The book is split into different sections, so you can literally start anywhere. There are sections such as the Book of Wild Lovers, prayers for lust, seduction, and majestic relatedness. The Book of the Bone Witch, prayers for grievers, death walkers, and shadowkin. The Book of the Heathen Queen, prayers for empowerment, sovereignty, and truth-telling. The Book of the Wounded Healer, prayers for heartache, healing, and the shining self. The Book of the Nameless Grandmothers, prayers for ancestral healing, lineage exploration, and forgiveness. The Book of the Shepherd, prayers for nurturing, self-love, and space tending. The Book of Shapeshifters, prayers for time weavers, human evolution, and strange futures. And the Book of Bones and Honey, prayers for the bittersweetness of the most heathen life. There is a story or poem for every eventuality within the pages of this book. I adored the retelling of the Little Match Girl in this book, and there was a particular prayer under the same stars that brought me to tears the first time I read it, and hopefully won't now. Under the same stars, a soft bandage for an old cut. The inner lover finds a seed of meaning in all relationships, even those whose stories have come to an end. When the ghosts of old lovers haunt, this is a prayer that stirs the heart. You and I dream under the same stars, my wounded love. Though we live better apart, I still keep a room open for the ghost of your memory. You'll find the door ajar should you wish to visit the haunted house of my heart. Should you dare to think of me too, I'll put the kettle on. Oh my goodness, that literally gets me. You can probably tell that there's that one past love I have that's still living rent-free in my heart. Sigh. And this year I need to evict them. Anyway, this is a great book to dip in and out of when you need to feel the feels, when you might need some comfort through words. Danielle has the ability, in my humble opinion, to write how the old storytellers did. She weaves her magic through her writing. And as much as I love her non-fiction books, it was inevitable she had to create a book that was purely fictional. If you are a lover of Women Who Run With The Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, purely for the stories and not the prose, this book is for you. Absolutely adore this book, and I'm very excited to confirm Danielle will be coming onto the show soon. But for now, join me after the break to talk all about the soul path. Welcome back. I am here with Emma Griffin. She is a fine artist, fashion illustrator, photographer, and eclectic witch based in Cornwall. Brought up in a magical household with a well-known tarot reader for a mother and a psychic medium for a father. Her career took her into the world of corporate fashion, which left little space for magic. In 2019, she launched her online platform, Sacred Spaces, as a means of reconnecting with her magical roots and living a more authentic life. Since then, she has amassed over 80,000 followers on Instagram and built a reputation as a modern day sage. Emma believes in looking within to harness the power of intuition and is the perfect guide for all those looking to do the same. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for asking me on.
I'm so excited to get into this. Your book, Find Your Soul Path, Discover the Magical Life Within, is absolutely stunning. I love
Thank you so much. It's been amazing.
I can so see from your background the influences it's had with the aesthetic, the photos, the information. Such a stunning book. And coming back to your book, I loved the introduction. So you gave such insight into your background, and there's lots that I've kind of said in the bio in regards to your background as well that I can't wait to get into. So you gave such insight into your background and journey to finding your own soul path.
Yes.
Are you happy to talk us through some of these experiences and, you know, what led you to write Find Your Soul Path?
Well, obviously, as you've mentioned, I've been brought up with a magical family. My mum was a witch and my dad taught me spirituality. So it's in my childhood, and that's all I really knew. And then over the years, I kept trying to put my sort of speaking to the dead or doing any of the witchy stuff sort of hidden, because everyone was sort of judging me. People thought it was a bit weird, and obviously thought my parents were a bit strange. So I kind of learned to try and put it away. But then it's pretty hard, because wherever you go, I would connect to spirit, and it was difficult to really hold that back. So I just tried to keep it quiet and didn't really tell anybody. And then in 2019, I lost my father. And then my mum told me she had cancer a couple of months after. And I decided, I really needed to hold space for her to have her cancer treatment. We had done Reiki together many years ago. And because I was working as a editor or photographer at the time, I thought, I need to hire a space so that I can make it comfortable for her and really just give her healing. So I did that in 2019, and because I was paying rent on this public, so I was splitting my time with photography and healing. And then my mum passed in 2020, and she always told me to keep the word witch quiet because you would get persecuted and judged and mocked and stuff. So she actually was ill at home, so I moved into her home for her last 8 days. And when I came to her home, I put on her pentagram, which is what I always wear now, which people obviously see on Instagram, and I haven't taken it off. And I wear that with pride, and I decided to, right, I'm going to step fully into social media and just share everything that I've learned. And everything Mum said about being persecuted, it was being the complete opposite. Everyone has been just so lovely, and I've been really surprised that people are actually interested in what I do. And then when Lizzie, my editor, found me on Instagram and said, "Have you ever thought about writing a book?" I had never really crossed my mind at all. I just thought, oh, because I'm very dyslexic and I actually haven't read a book, I didn't think that would actually be on my path. So when she asked me, I was really thrilled. It was a pinch me moment. So that really was the turning point, really, of how I decided to write this book. But finding myself path has all been through going through dark times and discovering who I am and how to help my health and mental health and become the person I am today.
Oh my goodness, what a story. I love that. It's so funny as well, you saying that, because I resonate with, did you almost feel like you were surprised at what your soul path sort of ended up being? Was it really, yeah, the opposite of what you could have imagined doing?
And never this, I thought I was just going to carry on doing photography. I mean, I'm very creative and I loved doing the photography. And I remember crying, saying to my husband, "Oh, the more I start sharing the witchy side, I'm probably going to lose my clients on the photography." And I did lose clients, but the universe kind of like opened up this space for me to say, right, yeah, this is your authentic self. This is what you should be doing. And then I could do the photography for myself instead of having to doing it for other people. So I actually fell in love with the photography more.
And it's almost like what you've, those kind of lives in a life that you've had with work and so on, they all complement, they absolutely complement what you're doing now, even though it's not what you were meant to carry on with. Yeah, absolutely.
And I always teach that with people. I always say, everything is not being a waste because it always leads you to the point of where you are now. You've just got to recognize those things.
I really resonate with that, because it's really funny, because I kind of fell into doing the podcast and other other aspects of work that I do. So I always worked in recruitment, and it wasn't kind of didn't set my soul on fire, but I love the people aspects of it and getting to connect with people. And I kind of feel like, obviously, I did, I interview people and I did all these things to connect with people about where they wanted to be and what they wanted to do in life. And although it's not what I wanted to, I don't want to continue ever kind of going back into that field, but I can really see, like you, how it helped me
Why
do
you
this
did it.
now. Yeah. Sometimes
And you learned a lot.
the universe sets you on a really funny little trajectory to get to where you're
Yes.
meant to be, and you look back and you're like, oh, it makes so much sense now. Life is funny, honestly. So as we, this is, kind of, I guess, on, we've had the Witches' New Year, but I feel like a lot of us still will be moving into 2024, taking inventory in respect of our day-to-day routines and rituals. And your book, I mean, before we got onto this interview, I was saying, you really inspire me so much with your routines. Can you talk us through some of the routines you're happy to share, and perhaps some of the benefits that we can find in setting and honouring our own?
Yeah, I think I need to have, well, I feel deep, deep inside my soul that I need to have a spiritual practice or a magical practice. And I do need to have that daily, but obviously life can be really busy. So lots of people beat themselves up if they can't stick to something. And I am a queen of procrastination and I get bored of routine. So I like to make sure I mix things up. So I really stick at a practice Monday to Friday. because I think that's more achievable. And then the weekends, I can, if I want to do a practice, then I will do. It's more relaxed. I'm really sort of, well, the main thing for me is meditation. So I like to connect to myself, and I will sit down and I will meditate, whether that is sometimes 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 20 minutes, doesn't really matter. I just sort of go with what my body needs at that time. I do a lot of journaling because that's helped me throughout my life, really, to really process my feelings and thoughts. And also, that's where I get all my captions from my Instagram. That's where I write down all my downloads that I receive from my spiritual team and stuff. So journaling is really important for me. And then I will just shuffle an oracle deck that I'm drawn to, and probably just pull one card. And that normally relates to either what I've just journaled about or what I've just seen or experienced in meditation. So that's my non-negotiable practice. Obviously, because I work from home and I'm connecting with people all over the world, and I'm working with different dimensional energies, the energy in my home is so important to me. So I'm cleansing my home a lot. I'm making sure everything's clean and just feels nice, which I know you want to talk to me about. but yeah, they are my main practices. And obviously, I do have cacao as well. And yeah, spending time with my dog, who's my familiar, and just really returning back to myself constantly to make sure I'm not racing on fear or stress or anything like that.
There was such gold for me when you said about I do this Monday to Friday so I can kind of
Yes.
cheat at the weekend. Because I'm like, oh my goodness, I've never thought of that. I'm on that. Like what a
Yeah.
place to start as well. If you're going to be kind of setting something up, like giving yourself that so that yeah, because
Yeah.
I guess as well, you come to the weekend or and I suppose some days you might think, I want to do that today because I felt so good after doing it this week. Or
Yeah.
yeah, it's giving you that bit of freedom, like you don't have to
Yeah.
do it, but you've committed to 5 days of doing it, and that's great.
Yeah, I think there's so much pressure, isn't there, on social media that you're meant to have, meant to be doing yoga, you're meant to be doing this and that and stretching and all these new things and stuff. And I think you just got to do what you feel that you're being called to do. And even if you just got your journal out for the first time ever and just wrote, well, what was I grateful for the day before, and wrote down three things, that's enough. Because at least you're reflecting and you're going inwards. And that's going to benefit you. It doesn't have to be this elaborate thing. It's just be very, very simple.
I love also that you said about the downloads and that you use them for your Instagram
Yes.
captions. That's really amazing. Because I feel like also as well, like when I look back on my journal, some of it is like it sounds like a 13-year-old girl wrote it. I'm like whinging
Yes.
about something, or it's like, but other times I'll read something and I think, I'll read back an old diary and I think, oh, that's deep. Like, did I write
Yeah,
that? Like
exactly. Where your spiritual team has probably just taken over and you've just channeled this lovely piece of wisdom. I like to use that because I always think, oh, that could help someone else, so I will share that.
absolutely, I love that. And actually, you touched on one of your routines because you really so something you got me onto that I want to try is the cacao set. I've never
Yeah.
pronounced properly section of your book.
Cacao. Yeah.
Cacao is a
Yeah.
topic we've never discussed on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've never
Yeah.
gotten into it. I don't know why. It's just not, it's just not come up. So
Yeah.
I'm very curious about your practice with it and perhaps some of
Yeah.
its benefits.
Well, I use it more in like a weekly or sometimes, obviously, I don't like the routines. So sometimes it's every day, sometimes it's twice a week, or sometimes it's once a week, depending on what I feel. But I remember going years ago to a circle and I had some ceremonial cacao, and I was so excited to try it because I'm obviously, I love chocolate, as we all do, but it was so bitter and I just really couldn't stomach it. And I know lots of people don't actually like the ceremonial cacao. So you can have it as a block and then you would take shavings off and you add that to water and then you would drink it like that. So what I wanted to do, because I had the studio at the time where I was holding space for my mum and started inviting people in, I thought it'd be really nice to have a drink that would open up my clients so they'd be able to talk to me more authentically and without fear. So doing research on cacao. Cacao will also open up your heart chakra. It has loads of health benefits. It will lower your blood pressure. It's a cancer fighting. It brings you joy. It's just what I call it, a real hug in a mug. So I decided to add plant-based milk to mine. And I also add in a few herbs, which is my secret recipe. I can't share that. That's how my cacao. But it made it, how I can describe it, it was just most, I don't know, the wholesome, most wholesome hot chocolate you've ever had. And it really did feel like a beautiful self-love moment. What I do with the cacao is once I've made it, I will have it in a very special mug. So that even the mug that I absolutely love, and it literally just slows me down. So the whole thing of me drinking this drink, the whole entire time is a sacred pause. So it really do sort of lowers my blood pressure immediately. I light a white candle. I create a little tiny altar space on the floor. And I really will, every sip that I will take, ask questions to my soul. So it's a really a self-love moment, really, for me. That's how I use it in my practice. And when I do women's circles, I also then provide that for them as well. So then I would ask some questions as they're drinking their sacred cacao, and they would do journaling with me. So it is a sort of, yeah, a very feminine nudge back into your heart space.
I definitely want to try this. So I'm going to ask where you, so I was going to ask you, Emma, where you source yours from, where you buy yours from.
Well, I make my own, which we've actually out of stocks. It's very, very popular, but we'll be bringing it back in the new year. So I will have some more in stock, probably end of January, February time. But I mean, I would try the ceremonial cacao first. I would, you know, go, I think even some lovely vegan cafes now will sell it. So I would look at any natural health store and try and get the highest grade that you can get possibly, and then really play around with if you want it with plant milk, or if you want it with a natural sugar or anything like that. See what you feel that's more palatable for you.
Well, I'll obviously link everything of Emma in the show notes so we can keep an eye for when it comes out and we can buy some, because I'm going to get on that. That sounds definitely something I'd like to incorporate into maybe my sort of weekly or bi-weekly routine.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your vulnerability in regards to speaking about your, you know, kind of background and the journey in regards to grief and the sections in your book on grief. This has been a really key discussion on the podcast of late and within my witchy community.
Yeah.
Because the darker months are a time when grief can become very apparent for all manner of reasons. Could you shed any light on how you've approached grief that might offer some comfort or insight to our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, grief's really hard. And obviously I've lost both my parents, and grief can suddenly come up and sort of, you'd be fine one day and then suddenly bang in your face, you're crying over a memory, and it can really hurt inside. And really for me, I've never been scared of death, because obviously I've talked to thousands of dead people, so there's never really, it never really has frightened me. It's the actual loss of someone that's the hardest thing. But then you can connect to them in the spirit world, and you can have a sentence from them, or you can actually have a sign from them, things like that, so that you know that they're always around. It's just consciousness, so they can be anywhere, you know, in space and time. They'll always be with you, and they will be watching over you, which is really lovely. And I think especially for British people, that we're not taught to actually feel grief. We're tilted, let's, if someone passes over, to, you know, once the funeral's done, you need to get on with it and motor on. And we as a sort of a nation don't really discuss death or grief or funerals or end of life or anything like that. So my recommendation is definitely to make sure you feel everything and really feel it, because it's just really love that you're feeling, and you don't know where to direct that love, because the human's not here anymore.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So you can honour your relatives, you could create an altar, you can play their music, you can get out photographs. They just don't want to be forgotten. So I always bring moments of remembering my ancestors and loved ones into my sort of lifestyle, really, but also making sure I feel. So if I'm feeling, you know, just so much hurt and I really miss people, then I will allow myself to feel that. If that means a day of crying or I don't want to see anyone or journal or bubble baths or mashed potatoes, so be it. But there's so much bypassing, really, just to sort of feel it, burn it and make it go away. It's a longer process than that. I don't feel grief ever leaves you. It'll always stay with you.
Absolutely. And I feel like what you've touched on with the, you know, kind of British culture is it's very much like, right, the funeral's done now, you know,
back to reality. Get on with it.
It's so crazy how we, you know, it's kind of expectation of people to get back to some normality with work and routines. And it really baffles me that we don't, you know, kind of the muggle world, I say, I'm going to define that, but it just is so feared, it seems.
You know? And it's such a shame that muggles feel that that's it. When someone dies, they die, you know, gone. And I find that such a shame. Missing out on all these sort of really magical signs and experiences that your loved ones are really trying to give you and show you that they're there or they're okay and, you know, they understand and that there's so much love. So it's a shame.
One of the things I found out about this year was, and I did some work with my Patreon on grief, and it was about a mourning altar. And you've touched on this as well, where you kind of have space in the house that is purely dedicated to who you're grieving, not in the sort of sour sense of an altar. It's more if you're kind of going through like an imminent loss or it's a very recent thing, and you kind of keep it in eyesight. So it might be that instead of having it, you know, in perhaps your bedroom where a lot of witches will have an altar, it might be, you know, space in the actual living room or the kitchen where you're living, and you're kind of doing all the things, because it's that remembrance of like, we are still here, you are in grief, so honor it, not to kind of you know, not help you to function, but just to remember like where you're at and honor it. And I thought that was so powerful.
Yeah. And again, to feel the feels, you know, you could go for a walk and pick something up from nature and place it on that altar, or you could buy their favorite flower or make them their favorite drink, you know, things like that, or place their jewelry. And even if you sat and reflected, and say if you had a bracelet from somewhere, you could sit and reflect at that altar and feel that bracelet and just remember all the happy memories that will make that spirit draw in very, very close.
Oh, absolutely. No, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I definitely think there's a lot in that, that I just think these conversations as well, the more we speak about it, the more people will, I know us with you, we're good with like generally we're pretty good with it, but I feel sometimes I need to remind myself, like, it's okay, you know, you are grieving, like this will come up, and hold hands with it rather than, you know, shun it away or try and numb it out and stuff on.
Christmas is a trigger, isn't it? You know, lots of people right now and going into New Year are obviously fully in grief. and missing their loved ones, or missing how it used to be. So I think, when you're in periods of that, we have to always have another generation around us. So I think it's so important to teach the younger generation, or the new generations that come into our lives, the old traditions that our ancestors have given us, so we keep that alive and talk about family members that they've never met, or they can't remember, or things that just keep their memories alive.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like you're right. And at this time, it is when they come up a lot because you are coming back to a lot of those traditions. Like with my Christmas, it's just, of my nan who I was really close to, and it's like, we've got to bake this because she made it. And it brings up all those feelings, and then you've got all the sensory feels of taste and smell and so on, because you're kind of eating those things and making it, and it can be so heightened. Samhain, and I've kind of said this before, and I'll be boring about it again, but Samhain's always for me like a little bit of a celebratory time with my dad. But then Christmas, I feel like, Yule and Christmas, it's almost like it's the quieter sort of energy for me, and it's like you're witnessing who isn't there more so in a
It's
sense.
sad. It is sad. There's so much sadness around it, so much love. But then you can change it by bringing in some traditions that your grandparents have done, or your parents, but then also bring in some new rituals and traditions that you want to make with your family as well, because they would have loved that too. And just talk about them, or raise a glass to them as well when you're having dinner, little things like that, because it is hard.
Absolutely, and I feel like that can still be a lasting energy until we kind of get to the spring, like once we get to Imbolc, and it still is, it doesn't just end with Christmas. I feel like the veil is, as they say, like it's always very thin from Samhain up to kind of beginning, sort of just after Yule and Christmas. But it does, I feel, kind of stay with you until we get into those spring moments when things are starting to, shift, and roots coming through and stuff, and shoots coming through rather. So it's just honouring it, I think, again, like holding
And I like the darker ones. I know lots of people struggle with it, but I actually like it. I love the, anchoring in and staying indoors more, and candles on, and fairy lights, and I'll probably keep the fairy lights up till probably spring, because
I love
I
that.
like all of that sort of, the magical, like, coziness feeling. I like the hot chocolates and the nice textures that you can have around your home to make you feel that you're more supported and held through this time. It's a really lovely resting period, because we can't, I think society also pushes us into rush, 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 and you've got to be at these certain targets, or earn a certain amount of money, or have all these things. And obviously, most witches don't live like that. We live in with the seasons. So obviously the winter does give us this pause time and reflection and healing as well.
Emma, there was a part in your book you've just touched on as well that, like, I was like, you are one of my witches, honestly, because it was in the self-love section, and you were like referencing bringing peace and how that is part of of self-love. And I love your list in your book of what peace means to you, because I resonated so much with it.
Thank you.
I'm such an introverted extrovert, homebody kind of. Like I love staying at home, listening to my dog snore, which I know you sort of mentioned, having an organized home, like smoke cleansing and so on. And I know like a huge part of your spiritual practice centers around your home. So can you talk us through some of your sort of sacred home practices that you observe?
Well, this all started because my mum always made a beautiful home, and she would constantly be changing things around and making it nice for when people come to or see us at our family home. And people never used to leave. They used to just love my mum's home and how she entertained, and obviously tarot readings and all of the other stuff. But so it really sort of started from there. And then I actually was an interior designer. Just again, that just happened. It just sort of fell in my lap, and I started creating spaces for people, and also pubs and restaurants and places like that. And I've also taught my children, my son, he still does it now, actually. If he comes around, he'll come up to me and say, "Mum, should we move the house around? Should we move a room around?" Because he knows that when I do something like that, the house will feel different. And obviously, people love crystals, but I truly believe your home is like one giant crystal. It's sucking up all the energy within the home and it radiates it back out to you, just as a quartz would do. So it is our container of wellness. It is holding us at all times. And if you don't have to spend loads and loads of money on all these things, but you should surround yourself with things that bring you joy. So when you see things with your eyes, it should cast a memory or should make you feel a certain way, or you should appreciate it or love textures or colors that lift you up, or it should be all personal to you, not everything gray. And that's my worst thing, when people do the gray everything with no color and it's all minimal. I'm like, oh my God. But if that's authentic to them, fine. But I like to have antique and secondhand and charity shop type things, to because they all have stories and energies with them. I've inherited lots of things from my family that I've kept that has memories of, like, puppies that would bite a certain part of the table and then your children write on it, and they become these beautiful sort of energetic pieces within themselves. And I couldn't live in, I mean, lots of people on Instagram say, "It does your house look like that?" And it does, because obviously it's only me, my husband and dogs here. My children have moved out, but I do have a lot of stuff to dust, yes, and I do cleanse it and move things around, but it brings me joy and it does hold me. And obviously, my favorite color is green. I love nature, so a lot of my home is green. I love natural things. A lot of my furniture is old wood or sheepskins and natural fabrics and stuff. I'm not a polyester or plastic kind of person. So yeah, I have I can't remember what you've asked me now. You asked about the how it
Sacred
holds
home
me.
practices, yeah, and like
Oh
what
yeah,
you
so
set
my
up and so
practice
on.
to keep the energy going in my home. Obviously, I cleanse. I have a small box room, which I'm in now while we're doing this interview, which is where I hold space and do my work online for people. So obviously, I'm channeling a lot in one space, and obviously, I do my spiritual practice in here. So I do cleanse this with mugwort or my garden sage or rosemary, or sometimes even just some incense. So that I do on a daily thing, and I open and close. So I open it in the morning with a cleanse, and then I will shut it down with a cleanse when I'm finished working. And then, depending on the house, how the house feels, or whoever's come into the house, or your husband can go out and come in and he can start moaning about something that he's experienced, or it will change the energy. Anything that changes the energy in my home, I will then do a deeper cleanse. And I really love frankincense resin. I'm sure most of your witches on your podcast will have used that. But I love frankincense resin. I love a bit of sprinkle of dried lavender on there. And I also like myrrh. And I will make sure I put my cauldron in the heart of the home, which is our living room. And I will just create a pretty altar on my coffee table and allow the smoke to move through my home. And that always makes the home feel grounded, happy, and it just sort of resets it back. I will change the rooms around a lot. I do a lot of restyling. Obviously, we've got Christmas trees up at the moment, and I know we had a discussion before we start the podcast that I am looking forward to when we take all the Christmas stuff down, and then you rejiggle everything around and you start to have this feeling of like getting ready for 2024 to come in. I really love that. I love this feeling of this newness coming in. So we need to get everything ready, get rid of things that no longer serve us, get rid of things that are broken, have a good sort out. It's like a major spring clean. But then I do that again when it's spring as well, just to bring in that new energy. So I think it's fun. I couldn't have a cluttered home. It would, because I look at everything as energy. So energy has got to flow through my home in every room. and the garden.
Oh, I really relate to that because I'm the same. Like I can tell if my house feels really messy, my brain is messy at the same time. And I remember my house is such a reflection of my brain and what's going on in there. And I remember when I was really like I was in my 20s, and I think that I had this kind of all these catastrophes going on at the same time. And my nan, again, who I said I was really close to, she wrote this little letter, and I feel like because she couldn't say what she wanted to say to me, because she I don't know if she felt I wouldn't have listened, but she sent me this little letter, and it's like, I know you're going through it at the moment, but when I'm going through it, I always clean my house and sort everything out top to bottom. I always feel amazing afterwards. And you know what it's like when you're at that sort of age, like, all right, Nan, whatever. And then I
It's
did
the last
it,
thing
and
you
I
want to do.
was like, you're like, this is not what I want to do. But she wasn't wrong. Like every time I get out this sort of, for me, I like smells that are, when I'm feeling a certain way, you were saying about scents. For me, it's like lemongrass, lemon. When I want to get energy up and that sort of vibrance and this in the house, it's just kind of getting into it and doing that tidy and clean and moving things around. It shifts you, like your energy, not just the house,
Yeah,
everything.
it's also like a meditation. Obviously, sometimes you want to clean or sort your home out and you're in complete silence. So sometimes I don't have music on and I'm just completely either tuning in or listening to my own thoughts and sort of just planning things and stuff like that. That's a really beautiful alpha state. But then sometimes you want to put on a really good dance track or this great playlist and you're dancing around the house and really just loving it. And time just sort of, well, it doesn't exist. It just like vanishes. It's a really nice time. And then once you've done it and then your family come home and they, or anybody comes into your home, they always say, wow, your home feels nice, or this is nice, or it's a lovely thing to be able to gift people that you love as well, creating these spaces for others to feel held. It's nice.
Absolutely. I always feel at the end of it as well, when I've done and I'm like really tired and I feel great because I've done it. And then I'm like, I light the candles again and I'm like, don't touch anything now, Emily. Which is not sustainable. But then I kind of
It's not. And yes, I do have sometimes, you do the washing, you think, actually, I can't be bothered to put that washing away. So I'm going to put that on the floor and do that tomorrow. I do live in a normal world. It's not constantly. But I did make a pact myself that if I, because obviously I used to create content for other people and brands and stuff, I always thought, well, when I start my Instagram, I'm just going to be the truth. I will share everything that as it is. So it is what you see on Instagram is how I live.
Oh, and it's so beautiful. Honestly, I've
Thank you.
literally got the same interior style that I've had most of my life, which is my, I really resonate with what you said about the old pieces because my ex-partner was an auctioneer. It sounds really
Oh,
like,
lovely.
he was more of a Dell boy, but we'll say auctioneer to become more professional. And I used to go to all the auctions, and my obsession is with, if it's not kind of like, and we weren't far from, we were in Folkestone just off the coast, so that we used to pick French furniture and sort of
Wow, beautiful.
go on. Oh, so my thing is, for me, I've got stuck on interior design that is like, if it worked in the 1700s, 1800, it still
Yeah,
works.
that is
It's still
good.
fashionable for me now.
Yes.
It still works,
And it's nice to mix up something really old with something quite modern as well. Things like that works. As long as you really love it, I would never buy something that I don't have this connection with. It's got to be something I really love. When you go
Same.
past a cushion shop and you're like, oh, am I going to regret not having that cushion in my life? And you are, so you have to buy the cushion.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like if yeah, same in the respect of what you have in your house, having energy, and I'm very ruthless about getting rid of stuff now.
Yeah, me too. But I give a lot away. I give a hell of a lot away for people. Or my daughter has a lot now because she's trying to move and have her own home. But it's and also we're going back to the seasons again. Obviously, right now, I think after Halloween, I started bringing in more blankets and more sheepskins and more low lights, more candles. And I think we put the fairy lights up. Oh gosh, I think beginning of November, because I don't like, the normal over the head lights anyway. I prefer cozy low lights. But so I think everything like that's going to stay the same. So it's more about textures and more about being slower and more like a cave, like going back into the cave and being inside more. And then as spring comes, I will probably move these blankets away, move some sheepskins around, and bring in more light. And because obviously you'll want to spend more time outdoors. So it's more about preparing the garden spaces for me. But
I
yeah,
think
I
you
love that.
feel intuitively, kind of, because I go through the year and I always feel very intuitively about my home, almost as a re representation of my altar, because we'll come out of Christmas and I'll start to be kind of settling into those sort of pastel colours and colours that are a representative of like in bulk. They'll start to seep through, and I'm like, yep, that's coming into the home now. And because it's what I feel, I don't care about what's in fashion or anything. I just don't ever look at what's going on, because I've just got
I
my life.
haven't. Yeah, I've never been a fashion. Yeah, even though I've worked in fashion, I've never followed trends ever. It's
But you've
just
got your
everything
own
I feel
style.
is right.
Absolutely. Oh, you've given me so much inspiration, Emma, on what I'm just going to be whizzing around my house today and cleaning and doing all sorts, throwing things. We're not throwing things out, but I'm sort of shedding. It's that time to
Shedding,
clear
or
the
give them
deck.
to someone else, or someone else might want to use it, or you could share a story about it and give it to someone that you really love so they can use it, things like that. Yeah, I think
Absolutely.
also we're very lucky, aren't we, as witches, to live in more of a seasonal way of life, like as we do, to bring all this wisdom into our homes. And I think muggles are really missing out on that. They really
Yes.
are. Yeah, everyone just wants to have everything that everyone else has, and it's really boring.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
Well,
It's like just it's like an empty. I agree. You can't compare it to any crystal or anything like that. It's just soul destroying to have a home that's the same as everybody else's. And how is that going to hold space for you? It's not going to be
absolutely.
inspiring or anything, is it? It's such a shame.
I feel like such a lack of pressure, sort of turning away. I've turned away from, I've turned away from different, fashion things going on, and I've turned away from, interior side of things, because I've just got what I like now, and that's okay.
And that's the best place to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Emma, thank you so much for coming on.
You're
Honestly,
welcome.
before we
You're
go,
welcome.
is there anything that we need to know that you've got coming up, or you want to share with us project-wise that, obviously we can find?
Well, next year I'm hoping to, because obviously when I started this Instagram, I wanted to make a be part of a community because I was really missing that in lockdown. So I thought because I have a lot of UK people that follow me, I am going to do some touring type events. So I'm hoping to probably head up to Edinburgh, Nottingham, Birmingham, London, and Bristol, and probably Glastonbury, I don't know yet. To do some sort of live workshops, interactive events, and just be among you all and be sort of so we can all like hug and chat and be a proper sisterhood. So I'm hoping to do that next year.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's all I've really got planned so far. And obviously, I have got another book coming out in, well, I think it's October, but I'm not sure, it's autumn next year. And yeah, that's my plans.
That's huge. That's more than
That's
most people
huge.
can
That's
dream.
what I was feeling into. I was like, oh, I just want to be with people. And I thought, how am I going to do that? And I thought the best thing to do is actually get on the road and actually sort of, create some workshops I can help people with.
Oh, I'm so excited to see what you've got cooking up for next year, and especially your
You.
book.
Thank
Again,
you.
Emma's book is beautiful, and I mean the photography, all of the
Thank
ideas in here,
you.
there is so much, especially for all manner of types of witchcraft, but, you know, especially the sacred space or house witches. And yeah, there's just so much in here, but it's absolutely beautiful, Emma. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for asking me. Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.